just turned three, took a present from his daddy's hand. A genuine toy hammer, he started beating to beat the band. He hit the floors and the wall, broke a lamp in the hall, started swinging at the puppy's tail. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Well, we've made it back from the first hour. Boy, we blew through that sucker like it was just air, man. That was incredible. What a great, great first hour with Sheriff Paul. Thank him very much. On the second hour here, I've got another sheriff that I don't know yet, but I'm sure I'm going to. I got Sheriff Jeff Christopher. Jeff, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're more than welcome. I don't know how much you know about me or how much you know about what I'm going on, and I know Ray and Loma you've probably led you in a little bit, and if I offend you, I apologize, because I've got, as the last show, I've got a real affinity to cops, and I've bought and paid for my hatred and anger. So, but thanks to people like yourself and Sheriff Paul, and I'm having to do some real revelations in my life, and it's very uncomfortable. So, and I know Ray and Loma wouldn't turn me, lead me astray. So, let's get right to the point here. What's your spin or your feelings on this, this crap that the Obama Bam is trying to put on us with the executive orders, which is illegal, immoral, and unethical? What's your what's your feelings on it, and where you stand on this issue?
Well, I'm certainly considered by many or most that know me as a constitutional sheriff, so I fall back on the founding fathers and what America was intended to be. When they created sheriff in this country, they created the sheriff to fight tyranny, not only to enforce law, but to fight the good fight of tyranny that they knew was going to come down the pike. If you look at some of the cliches that are some of the famous sayings that most of the founding fathers had, as recorded, they certainly knew and suspected that these kinds of things would come down the pike. And I believe in America, we've been asleep too long, and we really need to wake up and come together and keep these things from ruining our lives.
Well, I've got a very dear friend, William Wagner. He has on Second Thought TV. He's a television talk show. I've done his show several times. And one of the things that he's been telling me, because I've been anti-cop for many, many years now, simply because of what has been done to me and my family, the atrocities they've committed on me and my family is another whole day's work. But he kept telling me, and he'll say it on the air. He said it on the air, and I'm having to turn around and think he might be right, that the sheriff, the cops, not the cops so much, but the sheriffs, which are the high law of the land. He is fully in favor of you guys, because he says when the crap hits the fan, you're the guys that are going to be standing between us and them, and them being the politicians, the bureaucrats that are hell-bent to leather to destroy our liberties and rights. And you know what? As hard as it is for me to say, I think he's probably been right on the money, and I'm having to do the changes. So thank you for what you're doing. Do you see this war? I see it heating up. Do you see it happening and coming pretty quickly?
I do. I see, now I was a police officer for 26 years before I took on the role of sheriff, and I certainly dropped my guard with pertaining to my role as a police officer, working my way through the ranks, becoming a chief of police in the state of Maryland, and then later on realizing, I took the federal monies and had the programs. Now, I had the best intentions at heart, but because I got into police work to help people and to serve people. And I'm thankful that I never lost that focus, because it's about the people. People of America deserve the best. They pay for and expect the best to come out of the law enforcement community. And unfortunately, we have not done that. We have not served well, especially in the last 10 years. We started to go on a downward spiral. There's too much policy. Too much in the way of making a police officer realize that.
Sheriff, Chris, you could hold on. We got a break. I apologize, Jeff. Hold on. We'll be right back after this first break.
That handle sticks on the passenger side. But she don't mind climbing in on mine, because that's where she rides. I work the clutch and she shifts the gears.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
You're listening to Jack Bauer, Show's Quick Reconstruction Project. I've got a kind of lineup of guests here on the show with me tonight. I've got Sheriff Jeff Christopher, Ray and Loma from Oregon. I'm sorry. And on the lines with me, I've got Sherry waiting. Sherry, I'm going to have you just in a second, but I want to introduce everyone here to another dear friend of mine, Ron Bronson. He's the founder of Jail for Judges, which I've great people. Ron, are you there? Ron Branson, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Welcome to the show, Ron.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
I want to introduce you here before I bring our next guest on here. I'm going to bring Sherry up. Now, Sherry, are you with me? Sherry from California, are you there? I think we may have lost Sherry.
I'm sure.
Yeah, anyhow, Ron, welcome to the show. Welcome to join us. I don't know if the sheriff knows you or not, but... Yep, yeah, Sherry dropped. Okay, great. Thank you. And you guys, Ray and Loma, do you know of Ron?
Yes,
Ray.
We do. Yeah, we do. Hi, Ron.
Hello there. How you doing?
Ron, are you going to be coming to any of these shows? You going to be coming to any of these shows?
What's that again?
Are you going to be coming to any of... Ron's causing some feedback. Ron, if you got a speaker on or something, turn it off. Are you going to be coming to any of the shows? And Ray and Loma, you might want to give that information out again. So I'm sure Sheriff Jess knows about it. But they're having a show. Where's that going to be, and when's it going to be again, Ray and Loma?
The training convention is going to be in Reno, Nevada at the Nugget on May 13th and 14th.
Are you familiar with that, Ron? Are you going to be coming to it?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
If you go to NCSA, that's National Constitutional Sheriffs Association, the number 1.org, and go to convention, you can register online.
Okay.
something you might be interested in going to. And Sheriff Chris, Christopher, this is Ron Branson, and he has a group called Jail for Judges, and quite an interesting organization. And welcome again to the show, Ron. Are you familiar with any of this, with Sheriff Christopher?
Yes, I'm familiar with the convention Ray Kapitka is putting on, the National Sheriffs, and been invited there, and I look forward to attending.
Great. Yeah, I guess it's turning into quite an event. How many people you got lined up so far coming, Ray and Lima?
You know, I haven't even had a chance to check the registrations, to tell you the truth, and we're a ways out for registration, but we'd like to get people in early. And, you know, we're so pleased to have Jeff come and speak about what they've done to the sheriffs in Delaware with stripping them of their authority and their powers, you know, the Biden folks. And Jeff has got one heck of a story, I think, that your listeners would be just appalled to hear what is actually going on.
That was my next question, was Jeff, I'm sorry to interrupt you there a second ago. Can you finish your story? Let's give what you got going on, and we want to hear the finisher and the rest of it.
Well, I was elected sheriff in 2010 here in Delaware, and basically the Constitution, the state Constitution in Delaware, says that the sheriff shall be the conservator of the peace, and everyone knows pretty much what a conservator of the peace is. You don't need much of in the way of a secondary education to even realize it. Even my children know. And, of course, except the state of Delaware and my county council, they have no clue as to what those words mean. And I always tell everybody, whenever I go somewhere, I can say, you know, when they wrote this Constitution back then, and someone would just sit up and say, hey, look at that conservator of the peace over there, I guarantee you the first thing that came to mind of an individual listening would be that of a peace officer or law enforcement officer, and also known back then as the sheriff. The sheriff's been here in Sussex County, Delaware, since 1669, so we're one of the oldest sheriff's offices in the country. But there is a challenge, basically, that was put forth when I came and got elected, that we had to conform to what the county council said that the sheriff had to do and what he could do. And basically, I'm just not that kind of person. When I read the law and I understand what the role of the sheriff is, even though it may have not been practiced in their mind, it doesn't negate anything in the way of the role of the sheriff and or the powers of the sheriff, because it is the power of the people. And they elect me still here in Delaware. All sheriffs are elected here in Delaware. And we've only got three, by the way. But when they elected me to be the conservator of the peace by way of the Constitution. Now, the state law was not so clear. It did have a format that basically said that the sheriff had this authority and that authority. But they had one section in the law that said that the sheriff, for purposes of the chapter and training police officers in the state, it said that the sheriff's not considered a police officer in that particular chapter. That's the only thing that was written in the state law that basically was a negative aspect towards the sheriff, because it said that he wasn't considered a police officer. Now, it might be interesting to note that when they formed the Delaware State Police, that and that was probably right around 1935, they came into existence, and that particular section of Delaware law, Title 11, Section 8302, says that the state police shall be the conservators of the peace throughout the state, and they shall have police powers like the sheriff, constables, and other police officers. Now, that to me was very clear. Now, since then, the movement in Delaware is to get the sheriffs, to get rid of the sheriffs and eliminate any possibility that they could become the first law enforcement agency in the county over and above the state police. Now, let me make it very clear what I'm trying to say is I'm not against the state police. They do a wonderful job. They're just overworked as far as what they do here. But in the same token, I do resist any agency that is a corporate agency that basically follows anything the governor would say. And the sheriff, as an interposer, has not only the duty but the responsibility to stand up whenever there's a tyrannical law that's cast into our states and our counties to say no, and basically protect the rights and liberties of the citizen. You're not going to get that from any corporate police agency. You may get sporadic agreements from chiefs, police here and there, officers here and there, but for the most part, they answer to that corporate directly. They don't answer to the people, and they're going to follow those rules or be eliminated as far as their position is concerned. That's the great thing about a sheriff, because he's elected. He answers to the people. He is a representative, and he is duty-bound to keep his oath of office. Now, you can say that to about every officer, every police officer that's given that commission. But I can tell you right now, when it comes to taking the bread and butter off of your table, those people that are employed such in that way are going to be very easily intimidated. And I'm going by faith here. I've sued the state and I've sued the county because they reckon me not to have any police powers whatsoever. They created House Bill 325 just this past summer. It basically says that the sheriff has no police authority whatsoever. And that is in the face of the people. In my estimation, they stood right in the laps of the people that trust an honest government and slapped the people right in the face with it.
Well, very good point, Sheriff. And that brings up another question. If you don't mind and if you understand it, can you define the difference between a police officer and a peace officer? A lot of people don't. There is a very large crevice of a difference there. Do you know the difference? Or can you explain the difference?
Sure. If we use the word sheriff, sheriff is a peace officer. As I said before, my constitution in Delaware says that he's the conservator of the peace. The word conserve means to protect or to make sure that there's a continuation of what is written in the way of laws that protect the peace of the people. Now, the word police comes from the word policy. Policy is written by the government, not necessarily for the purpose of preserving rights and freedoms for the people. And the police, that changes on a daily basis. Whenever case law comes down, they're subject to having to enforce anything that they're told in a way by way of policy, whether it's constitutional or not, or whether it has an adverse effect on the community. They don't have a choice. They have to do it, again, or they lose their job or their position. Whereas a sheriff, as an interposer, should, although they don't, and the practice has been in the recent past that has brought us to the situation where we are in the country today, that conservators of the peace or peace officers that keep the oath of office, the sheriff, again, being an elected sheriff, is even more responsible under common law to protect the people and their rights and their liberties and enforce common law itself. Make sure that those rights and liberties are not infringed upon the people. And I think Matt puts it well when he talks about Rosa Parks. We probably never would have heard of her had there been a sheriff or peace officer stand beside her and say that we don't really have to get off this bus, Miss Parks. We can stay right here. But yet the officer that came on the bus was following social policy and made her move. So that's one example of right there with the difference of police. And, of course, the police are appointed. They're appointed positions by a bureaucrat. Police officers are bureaucrats themselves, whereas a sheriff sets the policy that he's going to enforce and has the trust and backing of the people to do the right thing.
You know, Sheriff, here you are making me redefine my opinion and outlook of police officers again, because I'll tell you, I'm impressed, first of all, You know how to read, and you know how to understand the Constitution, and you seem like you got a sense of honor and integrity about you. And I'll tell you, I'm the first one to admit it, man. I have got such a terrible opinion and look at police officers. I couldn't care if they lived or died. But again, my friend, the TV host, he's been saying it, and you're showing proof. You and the last sheriff, Paul, and the other ones that I've been meeting, thanks to Ray and Loma, this is tough on me, because I'm, you know, at my age, it's tough to have to reevaluate my whole outlook on life and go, you know what, they might be right. Stick with me, guys. We'll be back right after this this first break.
That handle sticks on the passenger side. She don't mind climbing in on mine, 'cause that's where she rides. I work the clutch and she shifts the gears.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We're back from that little break. Jack Bauer here. The name of the show is called The American Reconstruction Project. I've also brought up and on the line with me, you've heard me talking about him all evening, a good friend of mine, William Wagner. William, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, William, how you doing, my friend? I've been talking about you all night. I bet your ears were burning.
Hey, William.
A little bit.
We got Ray and Loma on here. That was him yelling hi, hey at you. And I got Sheriff Christopher on the line here. And it's quite a party time we're having here. And I don't know if you've heard any of it, or William, but I was explaining how you've been all over me for how long that you actually like cops, and you see them as the step between us and them. And where I've been talking about tonight, and it's going to take, in my opinion, an active effort to make this happen, there has been such a wall built up with people like myself that have such an hate and anger towards what is, you know, the officers. It's going to take an active and aggressive effort to tear this wall down. Because like I said, you know me, William, I have bought and paid for my hatred and anger for what they've done to me and my family. And never seen I had it justified in court that it was okay for them to do this. There's a problem here. There's a real big problem here. And, you know, I'm reaching out. Obviously, I'll bet you in never a million years, William, thought that I'd ever have a police officer on my show, other than maybe Mac. And we're loading them up. So having to admit that you may have been right really grates my nerves. So
yeah, well, I get used to that. I'm solution orientated. It's clear it's not our government that's running the United States or the United States of America Corporation. It's not our government. But there's a lot of sheriffs, probably over 3,000 sheriffs in 3,000 parishes and counties, that think they are doing their job when they simply follow orders. I'm a great grandson of an elected sheriff in a small county called Door County, Wisconsin, and I don't see all police officers and sheriffs as a bad guy, but what I see them as doing is misunderstanding what their true job is. Their true job is not to enforce code. Their true job is to be peace officers and to maintain the peace. And when someone obstructs the peace and causes violence, they're supposed to detain, if necessary, even arrest those people. And what I see them doing is they've been misinformed. They're not told anything about the Constitution. And there's three places in California where they get cop training. One is here in Santa Maria, one is in San Francisco, and the other one is down in Los Angeles. And I've sat in on some of their courses, and I don't approve of what they're being trained and how they're being trained. The police officer is really a peace officer to maintain the peace. And when you have a police officer go with a child protective service worker who is forged or used a rubber stamp of a judge on a document to seize a child, and the judge himself does not have any personal knowledge that that child is going to be seized with a rubber stamp signature of his, but the cop doesn't know that. The problem, the violence is being done by the cop and the social worker, but the cop may not be fully informed. In some cases, they are fully informed, but in many cases, they're not. They're just said, go with this person, make their job easy, and so they do that. And that's sort of like the Nazis in World War II that were told, go to this concentration camp and make sure these detainees keep working and doing what they're told, and if they don't, you use whatever violence is necessary to achieve it. And that's what the cops are just, they're carrying out a job that they shouldn't be doing because they're trained not to think. They're trained more and more like soldiers. And that's what basic training was all about. Basic training was to take civilians and train us to not think, but to simply follow orders. Because on the battlefield, taking time to think, now, should I really shoot at this guy? I don't really know him. Maybe be my barber tomorrow. That can get you killed on a battlefield. And what they're doing is getting more and more police officers to take paramilitary training, special ops trainings, and this sort of thing. So they also stop thinking. They stop thinking about whether they're carrying out the lawful orders or if they're not lawful orders. And there's no duty on a peace officer to carry out illegal or unlawful orders. And that covers a lot of grain. I was in a Ventura before Charlie Sprinkles died, and Charlie told me to go watch this case, and so I did. And when it came up, this guy started to argue with the judge about his traffic ticket and pointed out that he had the judge's oath of office in his hand, and he read him the numbers of what the judge's duty was. And then he went to the bailiff as the judge was starting to say, well, I've listened to you now. You shut up and listen to me. And as soon as he told him to shut up, this man looked right at the bailiff and said, bailiff, arrest the servant judge. He's our servant, and he cannot order me to shut up in the people's courtroom. And it was a really weird moment. For about a minute and a half, the bailiff didn't know whether to obey the judge or obey this guy, because he made a lot of sense and he cited a lot of legal precedents. And finally the judge said, I'm going to take a break. And he left. And I sat there and I thought, what the hell just happened?
Well, William, hold on. We'll be back. We got another quick break here, and we've got a long segment coming up next. I got people lining up. Sheriff, stick with me, please. Ray Lemon, we'll be right back after the break.
That handle sticks on the passenger side. But she don't mind climbing in on mine, cause that's where she rides. I work the clutch and she shifts the gears.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
it. How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, we made her back from another break. Now we've got our long segment here. This is the long one. On the line with me here, I've got William Wagoner from On Second Thought TV. I've got Sheriff Christopher, and Ray and Loma. Man, I tell you, you guys are working me to death here tonight. That's a good thing, because I'm learning. And Sheriff Christopher, thank you very, very much for taking the slings and arrows that I'm beating out there to you. I apologize for it. But, I'm trying, and I'm reaching out. And it's kind of sad, because people like yourself are taking the slings and arrows because of the trash like our sheriff here in Fresno has and produces out. You're catching the hell, literally, and the anger from the kind of disrespect and abuse that they dole out on a daily, hourly basis. And this is what I'm saying. In my opinion, and Will and the rest may or disagree with me, it's going to take an active, a very active task to bring us back together, because as I see it, there's been such a wall built up. It's us or them. That's the way I'm looking at it, and I have looked at it, and I'm one of a very, very, very many to see it like that. What do you
think?
You
know, the government itself, when it was formed, was of the people, for the people, by the people. And I'll be the first to admit that going through life and doing our daily rituals, in life, our family and jobs and everything else, we tend to lose focus on the things that seemingly take care of themselves. And that, one of those was the government. We didn't pay attention as like we should through the ages and through the days and the years, and the probably more recent past. And of course, unchecked, like a horse or a dog or whatever, if you don't train that particular horse or dog to respond to a certain expectation of the person training that animal, the animal kind of erases the line in the sand and starts to project itself into what is assumed is going to be a good and proper reaction by the horse or the animal by the command of the person. But if there's nothing there, the horse goes ahead or the dog goes ahead and formulates his own reaction, and therefore you have an out-of-control animal. And that's pretty much what's happened here with government, is we the people have not paid close attention. We've given it too much trust with minor, macro and minor things, with policy. And as the gentleman mentioned before, probably in the last 10 years, there's been a more militant approach to establish the police in the United States because of the reaction to crime. And of course, no one will argue that crime is very dangerous. It's moved into the sector of violence more often than not with regard to gangs and such and the type of weapons that they use out there. But because we've dropped our guard, the government has responded in its own way. And you can look at that and say, well, where does prudence play a role here? And that is that if they're willing to sacrifice our own constitutional values and basically create policy that steps on those, it's going to be a certain time that it's played out, if you will, in the community and society before we start to react. And that's what we're seeing today is, the certain people that understand the constitutional values are looking at this and saying, well, how did we get this far? How did we get down into this ditch, if you will, and how can we come out of it? And that's what's happening right now. The value of the sheriff itself, in my opinion, is that the sheriff has to be the interposer. He has to be the one to stand up and say, look, we've got to put the government back on track. Everybody knows it's broken. Even the liberals know it's broken. But they're going to follow a standard, basically, that is created by the policy that's been set in the last 20, 30 years. And even though it may be flying in the face of liberty-seeking people, what we want as far as the conservation of our rights and liberties and what have you, we have to fight for it now because it's gone that far. And one of the duties of a sheriff and his deputies are to make sure that we move in that direction, educate the people, let them know that it's still a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, and we have to start implementing the right policy and the right demands upon the government to change it back to where it should be.
Well, thank you, Sheriff. And again, it's nice like this. This 2 hours is blowing by so fast. We've got another one after this, another show, but that's another story. The problem is there's just not enough time and to get to the heart of a lot of these issues. In the meantime, I do have a couple other callers. I want to bring Chris up from California. Chris, are you with me? Hello, Chris from California. Is Chris there? Nope. Oh, here he is. Wait a minute. Chris, are you there?
Hey.
All right. Let's move on to Mike then from Maryland. Mike from Maryland, are you with me?
Hey, Mike? Brother. This is actually Colin. I was referring to you.
Oh.
How you doing?
Good. Hey, how you doing, Colin?
Good. I got some solutions for the gentleman, and it's not often I use that phrase. For the gentleman, and we are close enough that we could actually get together because being in Maryland, him in Delaware. But I'll review it for any other the other sheriffs that might be listening. Shall I share it with them?
Absolutely. Again, this is another acquaintance friend of mine. This is Colin, and a very sharp guy. And he was at a point, actually, where he went out trolling for cops to enlighten them. And by the time he's done shredding them, he's actually had them come into tears. So, but don't do that to this guy because he's a good guy, Colin. You'd be nice.
Oh, no. I want to share him. I want to share him so he can use it on his other moron.
All right. Go ahead, Colin.
Yeah. Any lawful entity. So here you go. I jump right into it because what you can do is bring a witness, and I would suggest bringing a civilian witness anyway because we are still the masters. And have it, and all you do is you print out the 10 questions. You have at least two witnesses because by the witness of two or more or by confession in open court, you may be charged with treason. Now, fraud is a federal offense, and anyone can arrest somebody who commits fraud or they believe is committing fraud. So here we go. Are you, first I ask, who are you? And they will always tell you that they're a what, not a who, because they're holding a position, which is a what. And only who's are allowed in the who pool, not what. So you ask them who they are, and they always say, well, I'm officer so-and-so or Secret Service agent so-and-so and such-and-such. And I've done this many times, so I'm not speaking out of from armchair. And you say, well, that's fantastic. The position you claim to hold requires you to swear an oath of office. Is that correct? And they go, yes. And the person with the two pieces of paper will check the box that says yes or write in there yes. And then you say, that's fantastic. Now, that oath of office is to support the Constitution for the United States. Is that correct? And they go, yes. Fantastic. Well, that's great. Hey, I accept your oath of office. Is that acceptable to you? They go, well, yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Shake your hand. That's great. So tell me, have you been paid on time for your services in your oath of office? And they go, on time, on time, on time. Yeah. I really don't care if they've been paid on time. I just want to know, have you been paid? Because under contract law, which the Constitution also says that nothing shall abridge the enforcing the contract, under contract law, the party that substantially performs their part, which the people have, then the other party, Party B, is responsible for their part in whole, which is their whole thing that they've sworn their oath to, as well as all the other rules, regulations, and so on. So I then sit there and say, have you been paid on time? And they go, oh, yeah, I think so. And they're, wow, that's great. I've been in contracting for a long time, and I never get paid on time. So is there anything owed to you for your services, your oath of office? That's for all the judges that are supposed to be compensated, which none of them are because none of them are judges, because the fact they get a paycheck means that they're not a true judge. We'll get into that later. But anyway, they go, no, there's nothing owed to me at all. Oh, man, that's great, because, you know, the contract I've got, I have to spend half my time chasing the money down. So tell me, do I personally owe you anything for your services, your oath of office? No. Oh, wow, that's a relief. Fantastic, great. Well, let me ask you a few questions here. You've been paid on time. You swore an oath. That oath is to support a constitution, which is required of the position that you hold. So would you please tell me the 13th article of the Bill of Rights? Well, if you don't know, just say you don't know. I don't know, which is a trick question, because anyone who knows there is no such thing as the 13th article of the Bill of Rights, the 13th Amendment, which has actually changed, but it doesn't really matter. I think it's very powerful. Then I inform them what it says, because I know it by heart, as they should, which is neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist in the United States or territories subject to its jurisdiction. Now, any of you that actually know it knows that I left out a little piece that unless it is for a punishment where of a crime they have been duly convicted. Since I haven't been duly convicted, I kind of leave that out. Let's repeat it. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist in the United States or territory subject to its jurisdiction.
Hey, Colin, it's a really short show tonight. Can we move it along?
I know. Almost done, brother.
All right, go ahead.
So then I do the 13th. I say, how about the 14th? And they go, if you don't know, I say, if you don't know, you don't know. And then we move on, and they don't know that, and I tell them what that says, and you ought to read the last three parts of that, because it's very, very powerful. Nor shall any state deprive any person of the equal protections of the law, thereby indicating that the law is here to protect us, not to screw us. So are you here to screw me or protect me? Anyway, once you've done three more questions, and I always love to ask them about the fifth, plead the fifth, come on. They all say, oh, you have the right to remain silent. See, that's why it's important, because it doesn't say you have the right to remain silent. Of course you have the right to remain silent. What you say is, you may not be compelled. Anyway, to give evidence that may be used against a criminal case. Now, at this point, you have an affidavit from these two people. You can go get it notarized and so on and so forth, that they have witnessed the following answers to these questions. It clearly indicates that they do not know their oath of office because they don't know the first thing about the Constitution. And you can even get them to admit that they're committing fraud because you asked them, if I was a mechanic and I didn't know what the spark plug was, I didn't know what an injector was, wouldn't you say I was committing fraud? And they go, yes. And say, well, then you don't know very much about your job. You must be committing fraud, too. And
real quick,
you have an indictment right there. You can bring charges against him right there because you have witnesses, you got affidavits, that's all you need.
Colin. The point that he's making here, if I can reiterate on a little bit here, is this is the kind of animosity that has been built between us and you, Sheriff. And, again, I go back to saying the same thing. It's got to be an active and aggressive stance that we're taking. You know, let's go out and have some beers together, smoke some dobies. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Let's go out and have a beer together, have a pizza. In my opinion, it's going to have to come to that type of a concerted effort to bring these walls down. And I truly, in my heart, believe these walls need to come down for your protection, for my protection, for the safety of the country, for the goodness of the country. We've all got to reach out. And, again, that's why I'm doing this show.
Remind them that they can get this, because this is recorded, they can listen to it, so they can re-listen to it again.
Absolutely.
Or they can contact me through you. I'll be glad to share it with them. All I want is public servants that know what the Constitution says. My belief is this. If they know what the Constitution says, they will no longer be doing what they're doing. And if you know the Constitution, you must know all, therefore, you automatically know all other laws, because it clearly states that these laws and the laws that shall be made in pursuance thereof. So all laws must be in pursuance of the Constitution. And that's why I believe once these people who are public servitude, let me ask one quick question, please, it's very important. Ask yourself a simple question. You have to be checked out with that gun as not only the use of it, breakdown of it, but also the accuracy of it. How often do you use it? Yet from the moment you swore your oath, you literally put on the law every minute of every day. How many times are you tested? How many times do you test your men as to their knowledge and accuracy of use of the law?
Good
point. I would say that's where I would start if I was the sheriff. I would first educate my men.
Thanks, Colin. What he's getting at here, again, Sheriff, again, there's a good side and a bad side to everything, in my opinion. And we have been forced as John Q. Public to have to go back and learn the laws ourselves. And that's a good thing, to a point. But, you know, there's a lot better life here that we could be doing instead of putting, you know, shows on like this. If we just went back to some common ethics and values, in my opinion. And what I've seen as police officers, especially our police chief here is a confirmed pedophile, how can they get away with this? So there's a lot of animosity, and maybe I just need to move to a different county because, like I say, it's not going to get any better here. Do you understand where we're coming at here, Sheriff?
Absolutely. And what the point that Colin was trying to make, I believe, is what I said earlier, that the police are starting to follow and have been in the last 20 years or so, with the advent of Cops More through the Clinton administration, Cops Fast, and all the different federal monies that were received by the police field itself, to create what has become in the recent past more of a militaristic type training, that's, you know, the SWAT training and that sort of thing. The money was afforded for that kind of training, so a lot of police departments took advantage of that, and then they started to move into the militaristic style policing. And what they've forgotten, or what they dropped the ball with, is the fact that we're still serving people. We owe our whole existence, as far as the police, to people themselves. And when I say that, the majority of the people will never come in contact with the police in a negative sense at all.
Absolutely.
And some will. But the police have to, and they must stand upon the standard of the Constitution. He mentioned something about it has to be in pursuit of the Constitution. He's talking about the supremacy clause that has been projected out there that says that the federal government's in charge of everything, and that's not true. It has to be in pursuit of the Constitution, and everything that they're doing has to be fully aligned with the Constitution. And I'm speaking of the United States Constitution in so much as how it reflects people and their rights and freedoms. It's all about property.
You know, again, Sheriff, you're impressing the heck out of me. And if you want any of this information, Colin, I know him, and I've got all this stuff. I'll give you my number. You can get it from Ray and Loma. Anybody that wants to get hold of me, if they get hold of the RBN, all my information's there, or you can talk to the producer afterwards, and I'll make sure you get copies of it. I got another caller here. We're running out of time. Quick, Chris from California's back. Chris, are you with me this time?
Hello.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call.
Your bet. What's up?
I'm in L.A. where the Chris Dorner affair happened.
Yes, sir.
And a few weeks before that event happened, there was a missed call. A sheriff came to my house, and it was a misidentification. And I was basically, they basically had no need to come to my house because it had nothing to do with me or my identity. And it was a female sheriff officer. I was half naked because I was just in my shorts. Basically, I thought it was someone that I knew because they were pounding on my door. And I opened it because I thought it was someone that I knew.
Okay.
And sure. I opened the door, and I'm half naked. I'm just basically in my shorts. And it was a female sheriff in the area.
Well, I hope you invited her in.
No. I don't want to get to that point. But basically, let's just put it this way. She pulled out her piece.
Okay.
And I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, this is what she exact her exact words. I don't know if you have her gun or not."
That sounds like an experience to me.
It sounds like an experience, doesn't it? Now, like we're all guys, and we know what that entails. At the same time, I was just like, listen, lady, what are you doing with your gun out? And she said, I don't know if you have your gun. Well, what are you doing with your gun out? She said, I don't know if you have a gun or not. I was going to say something, but I refrained. Why did I refrain? Because this is the reason why. I don't know what the police are going to do, regardless.
Well, the full intent of all police should be to protect you as a citizen, or to make sure
right.
that they're hold safe
up,
as
Sheriff,
well.
Hold up, Sheriff, because we got one last break here. We'll be back right after it.
In the sticks, on the passenger side. But she don't mind climbing in on mine, because that's where she rides. I work the clutch, and she shifts the gears.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, I'm back. I'm going to get right after it here because we're down to the last 3 or 4 minutes, and once again, we've blown through our 2 hours like it was nothing. Sheriff, are you still with me, Sheriff? I hope.
I'm here. Yep.
There you go. You know, and I'm first to admit it. I'm absolutely guilty of it. The sheriff, and I'm sure you've heard it, they're starting to be referred to as the biggest gang in the world, biggest armed gang in the world, and there's for good reason. So. You know, I hope that you're somewhat like a cancer that will catch on and people figure this crap out, because if not, this country ain't going to make it. It's not going to make it, and thank God you're for doing what you're doing. Anyway, I hope Chris was finished there. I've got one more caller here from...
Mike, William,
yes,
would like to ask a question.
Go ahead, William. And also, before you do that, though, Sheriff, is there a way if people can get a hold of you or go through me? Or because I got people bugging me on the other lines going, how do we get hold of the sheriff? How do we get him? How do we get him?
Well, they can contact me on Facebook. Just look up or search Sheriff Jeff Christopher, J-E-F-F, and Christopher like Christopher Columbus. Another way is my email address is horseforce1, and that is horse like the animal, H-O-R-S-E, horse like Air Force, F-O-R-C-E, and the number one spelled out. That's O-N-E at AOL.com. So it's horseforce1 at AOL.com.
Terrific. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, I have a question for the sheriff. Supreme Court Justice Scalia says the grand jury does not belong to the district attorney's office or the judiciary, nor the executive, nor the legislative, because it's not assigned to any three branches in the Constitution. Yet it is mentioned in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and that we're under common law. So I'm looking for solutions, and I'm thinking what we need is a We the People grand juries forming in each county of 23, 25 solid citizens, not wackos, not talk show hosts, but people who are solid in their community, are respected, and they come together and recognize that we've got a bad judge here or we've got a bad somebody there in office, and they come together in secret. They pick their own grand jury foreman. They're not under the direction of any judge. They're not appointed by any judge, but they spontaneously come together. They then take evidence on a record, either electronic or court reporter, and then these 23 or 25 grand jurors issue a true bill of indictment after voting whether to indict Judge so-and-so or Sheriff so-and-so or anybody in office. Usually it's an election clerk. I would want it arrested. But they issue a true bill of indictment. They attach their own affidavit as to why the sheriff is to arrest, and they send it by certified courier or personally delivered by one of the grand jurors to the sheriff to arrest Judge so-and-so or Congressman so-and-so. And if they don't, if the sheriff doesn't, and my question to the sheriff, if you got one of these from a grand jury that you had never heard of that could certify they had the 23 people and they'd done everything correctly, would you make that arrest and put that judge or election official in jail? But if they don't, if the sheriff doesn't, this is what I recommended on my TV show just last night, you need to have a militia of armed people in the county.
Make it quick, when you're down to less than a minute.
Okay, and if the sheriff won't make that arrest, then you need an armed militia of at least three times the sheriff's force to go and effect that arrest with armed men that are controlled or acting lawfully under the true bill of indictment.
Well, you got the question out there, too.
Would he act on that true bill of indictment?
We're out of time. We've got another show coming up right after this. Maybe we can catch it there. Sheriff, thank you. Ray and Loma, thank you. Guys, I'll be back next week. Day five.
He started beating to beat the band. He hit the floors and the wall, broke a lamp in the hall, started swinging at the puppy's tail when you're holding a hammer. Everything looks like a nail. Listen now, he was the president, number 44. He says, trust me, I'm here to help you. I have got some big, big plans. You're gonna love what I'm gonna do. There's no problem too big or small. He thinks he's got an answer that just can't fail. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Now.